consequences, at least none that doctors and lawyers can't fix. As someone who is empowered to speak on behalf of Christ, I say to you, do not listen to these empty words. The AIDS epidemic and the economic recession of 2008 both fit the biblical models of God's judgment. The AIDS epidemic is not just about homosexual behavior. It is about a world where there is a growing rejection of God in the formerly Christian nations of the West. And the financial economic recession of 2008 is pointedly directed at idolatrous greed. Judgment is God's way of saying, if you can't find your way to my door, I will find my way to your door. Secular prophets and priests disagree. They all practice deceit. They treat the wound of my people as if it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. On the other hand, faithful pastors, teachers, evangelists, and prophets say to the people of God and to all who has listened, stand at the crossroads and look. Look for, ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3 points us to the ancient paths when it says, among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. The apostle goes on to say that sexual immorality is improper for God's holy people. The present danger to God's holy people. In these confusing days in which we live, is that we will give up. The secular world wants to make us give up by making us believe that sex between a man and a woman inside marriage is not possible, it's not even desirable. The world has at its disposal powerful instruments of persuasion, Supreme Court decisions, corporate sensitivity training, television, movies, the internet, and relentless peer pressure bombard us every day with the message that sex outside of marriage is okay. We would be foolish somehow to try and diminish the impact of that message on us. Jesus warned us, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. Jesus also told us, don't give up. In that very next verse, he said, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, it's convenient for secular propaganda never to mention the fact that millions and millions of people live faithful to the biblical command. But we would never know it. The people who live faithful to the biblical command don't talk about it. And no book or movie or television show celebrates it. And so you and I are caught in this vice. My encouragement to you is, don't be intimidated by secular propaganda. On the contrary, make it your point to stand at the crossroads, ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, where there is not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. You know, sex outside marriage has become the new normal. I think we need to stop complaining about that. On the contrary, let's become people who are holy and blameless, children of God without fault, in a crooked and perverse generation where you shine like stars in the universe. Let's keep sex and children inside marriage between a man and a woman for life. And let's be prepared to support each other and to support our behavior when necessary by saying very simply, I believe that is how Jesus Christ wants us to live. Don't let your past failures be a roadblock for you. You are now a citizen of heaven. Whatever your sexual sins may have been, God makes all things new. You know that the actions which you now regret have no place in the coming kingdom of heaven. Renounce them. Stand in the good way. Walk on that path, and you will find rest to your souls. There is a way of dealing with our past failures. Sexual sins are the sins we never confess. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13 says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes his sins finds mercy. Before we receive the Lord's Supper today, let's confess our sexual sins before God in a solemn act of confession. Let them break your heart, speak the truth, renounce them, ask God to set your feet on the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. To prepare us for that act of confession and to prepare us for receiving together the Lord's Supper, I'd like for us to build toward confession by the use of Scripture. And we're going to read it as we usually do, back and forth. And before we share together the final prayer in unison, we'll stop and we'll have a sustained moment or two of confession of our sins. So let's worship God. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. You're my God, and I will give you thanks. You're my God, and I will exalt you. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you because of such things. God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Before we join in this prayer in unison, let's stop for a minute now and offer our heartfelt confessions of our sins before Almighty God. At the end of that, I will close in prayer by saying amen, and we'll share this in unison. Let's practice the Christian discipline of confession. Hear our confession, O Lord. Let our cry come unto you. Amen. All together, ready? Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. By the authority of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and rooted in the promises of the eternal word of God, I say to all of us in this gathering who have confessed our sins, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace. Come here and commune with the Lord of all mercy. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, even if you are not a member of this congregation, we want you to eat and to drink with us. You're one of us. If you do not yet believe in Jesus Christ, why not begin right here, right now? Ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, to be your Savior, and to be your Lord. Those will be the first tentative but important steps of your becoming a lifetime follower of Jesus Christ. If you're not yet a believer, it's better to allow the bread and the cup to go by and not eat and drink. We don't embarrass you for that. This is just designed for people who believe. Our habits are to serve everyone, and we eat together. We serve everyone again, and we all drink together. And our brother Steve Schombach will give thanks for the bread.